Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 45th chapter, Perek Mem Hei of Sefer Yeshayahu. Once again, because there's not so much of a story narrative running through these sections, we can really understand each Perek in its own rights. We're going to soon move into a new section of Nechemta, but in the meantime, each Perek really stands along on its own grounds. So here we go. The general overview of the Perek is Hashem's hand in history, which obviously raises a lot of fascinating discussions which can stem forth from this Perek. But let's divide into a few sections and think about points to ponder on each section. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way through Zion, and this section is the vision to Cyrus. Who is Cyrus? Cyrus the Great is one of the great Persian emperors. Now remember, Yeshayahu was living long before the Persians. The Persians aren't really an important enterprise at this point in time in history. Yeshayahu is actually, his main worry is the Assyrians and perhaps the Babylonians, but the Persians are not on the radar yet. So this is clearly a prophecy about the future. And here's what he says. He turns to Cyrus and he describes him as the Mashiach Hashem, Mashichai. The Hashem's anointed one, who subdues the nations in front of him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up the doors, leave open the gates in front of him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to walk in front of him and straighten the paths and break down the barriers. This Cyrus is going to have everything open up in front of him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up the treasure houses to him. Why? He lamented in order that you should know, Ki ani Hashem akorei b'shimcha Elokei Yisrael. Number one is that you should know that this is all happening miraculously to you, in order that you should call the name of the God of Israel. Number two, Leman Avdi Yaakov Yisrael Bechiri. It's simply for the sake of my children. Because remember, the Persians are going to conquer the Babylonians. The Babylonians who have the Jews, the Israelites in exile, and bringing them back. So it's for the sake of my children. But you, V'lo Yedatani, I don't know you. We have no relationship, you, Koresh, you and me. You're simply my tool for my children. And he concludes the section by saying that you need to know that wherever you look, there is nothing besides me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Yotzer Oru Vorecho Shech, I am the one who creates light and darkness. Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra, I am the one who creates peace and evil. Ani Hashem Oseh Kol Ele, I am God who creates everything. God is saying, understand, Cyrus, you are simply a tool in my hand. Now, one or two things just to point out about over here is that Rashi does concede, as most Mefarshim say, that this prophecy is to Cyrus the Great. But it is worthwhile noticing that Rashi also quotes Chazal, Gemara in Megillah, that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually referring to, he's talking to the Melech HaMashiach, when he says the Mishichoi, and Cyrus is the subject of the discussion HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having with the Melech HaMashiach. Whichever way we read it, whether it's about Cyrus or it's to Cyrus, either way makes no real difference in the sense that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially saying is, I'm going to facilitate my Geula from Bavel, and it's going to be through another person. And this is very important for us to understand, because sometimes we look around in history and we see, you know, monumental moments or decisions made for Israel, and they were made by people who weren't necessarily, you know, the people we'd expect to have been God's messengers. And we have to realize that Yeshayahu is saying, that can be God's word. It may be a Lord Balfour. It may be people who we don't expect to move embassies. But these are people where we have to realize prophetically that something's going on over here. There's something really big at hand. The last section, the last pasuk in the section of Yotzer Oru Vorecho Shech Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra is a pasuk we should almost know, because it appears in the first bracha of Kriyas Shema, where we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Oru Vorecho Shech Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra Hakol. In fact, we euphemize the last word where we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates evil. We rather say HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates everything. This is fascinating, because the Gemara in Brachos tells us that we euphemize it because we don't attribute evil to Hashem. This simple pasuk is actually the basis of theological discussions, which are really the foundation of svarim and svarim and svarim, which are written on this topic. So, for instance, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzata, wrote a book called Das Tvunos, just trying to unravel this issue. How do we know that evil exists in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful power in the world? How do we attribute it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the evil, but Hashem is still responsible for the evil? Very, very hard to understand. There are svarim written on this. The Malbim points out very simply, and this is one of the concepts that we should be aware of, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create, or we'll call it dictate or direct evil or darkness. He rather gives space from himself, and in that space manifests evil, manifests bad people, manifests bad disasters in the world, manifests darkness. And that's perhaps one of the ways we can look at this relationship, as the Malbim says, in understanding this. It's a very powerful statement which we say every day in Tefillah. Okay, the next section is a very curious section, which runs only for a few psukim, about those who question Hashem. And basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the salvation will come to Israel like rain from heavens, and it will sprout forth in justice, and woe to the person who challenges his creator. It's like a vessel asking the person who created it, why did you make me like this? Or the son saying to their father and mother, why did you give birth? What's he referring to over here? What in the world is going on over here? So the Metzudah Tzion says this is referring to Belshazzar. Belshazzar is one of the later Babylonian kings, in fact the last Babylonian king, who challenges HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you bring, if you really meant to bring back the clay, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash back to Yerushalayim, then why do you bring them down to Bavel? Ha ha ha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to use them. And that was the night he died. That was when the writing was on the wall, and in Sefer Daniel Perikei, and Belshazzar was killed that night. That's what it refers to in the future, somebody who questioned God and his salvation. Of course, Belshazzar was conquered by Darius and the interception of the Persians, and ultimately the return of the Jews to the land of Israel through the Persians. However, Rashi points out something even more terrifying, and that is he's not referring to a non-Jew. He's referring to a prophet who will come soon. His name is Habakkuk. Because if you look at the first chapter of Habakkuk, which we'll get to, Be'ezras Hashem, Habakkuk challenges HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and says, how can you allow this to happen to the Jews? How can you allow all the Babylonian terror to take hold of the Jews? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshayahu, let me tell you something. Talk about this prophet in the future called Habakkuk and understand, how can a child turn to the parent and say, why do you have me? You don't have the right to question my decisions, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To Habakkuk. So it's Yeshayahu turning to Habakkuk's questioning of Hashem's justice. What a powerful section. After this quick subsection of talking about how there are those who question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Geula, Hashem now returns to Cyrus, and there's a very, very short section which runs from Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says that people ask me for oisios, people ask me for signs, what the future is going to be. Well, I'm telling you what the signs are. I created heavens and earth. I'm going to allow this person to be awoken in justice, and I'm going to smooth out the roads in front of him, and he's going to send back my children and not need a bribe for it. And that's what happened. Cyrus was inspired. He allowed the aliyah of the Jews back to the land of Israel. He allowed them to reestablish the Beis HaMikdash, at least in the beginning. And this was this was what gave rise to the Second Commonwealth, to the building of the Second Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what's going to happen. This is long before Bavel has even arisen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that this will be it. It is interesting to know that the Persian foreign policy was to allow nation-states back to their nations as opposed to the Babylonians, and allow them to cultivate their culture, but still pay taxes to the greater Persian overlord, which is what happened to Israel and many of the other cultures. But this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it may look like a geopolitical decision. Understand, it's me working behind him. It's me in his boardrooms. It's me in his State Department. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Move on to the next section of the Perek, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically adds an extra little cherry on the top, and he says that he'll allow the spoils and the wealth and the slaves of Egypt and Ethiopia to be spread forth in front of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel Mistater, Hashem who hides, is going to reveal himself, be the eternal Savior, and then all the other nations will be embarrassed, and Bnei Israel will have eternal. No, Yisrael no Shaba Hashem Teshuas Olamim. Israel will be saved from HaKadosh Baruch Hu eternally, because Lo Yisei Voshev Lo Yisei Kolmo Ad Olmei Adi will never be embarrassed again when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally appears himself, in front of him. The Metzudas points out that this is actually referring to a moment in Yeshayahu's life when Assyria, Sennacherib, comes to lay the second siege in Jerusalem and is finally conquered. He came after conquering Egypt and Ethiopia, therefore he had all these spoils in his and payload, which he lost when his 185,000 soldiers died, and that's when Israel got this. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm going to make sure it's going to work out for you. Finally, the last section, this parak over here, runs from Pasuk Yud Ches all the way to the very end on Pasuk Chof Dalet. And in this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, unequivocally, this is a fascinating section. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about the nations recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, look, Loi toihu bara'a l'shevetz yitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I do not make the land to be desolate. I want it to be inhabited. I am Hashem Einor. There's no one else besides for me. I didn't speak quietly. I didn't speak secretly when I spoke to the nation of Israel at Sinai. I spoke to the whole world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to them and says to them, please understand, come to me. I'm your only salvation. I'm your only savior. Stop praying to all these other powers in the world. Turn to me and be saved, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when you bow down to me, when you turn to me as the only power in the world, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Yitzchakul, Ba'Hashem Yitzchakul V'Yisalelu, called Zeri Yisrael. That's when, ultimately, all of Israel also come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very fascinating section. This section is, we need to think about from a number of levels. First of all, if you look through actually in the words, you'll see a lot of the formulation of Aleinu L'Shabeach is to be found in this section. So for instance, phrases like, U'mispalalim el el lo yoshia, where people, these other nations up till now have prayed to powers which are not going to sail them, or kili, because every knee is going to bow to me and every tongue is going to swear my name. These are all, you know, verses we see in all parts of the liturgy of Aleinu, which is taken from this particular section. Aleinu, of course, is focusing outwards on the nations of the world, respecting and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But something which is worthwhile noticing over here in this section, worthwhile thinking about, is what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to the rest of the nations of the world? Do they need to convert to Judaism to be able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you do not see that in this section. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not saying everybody becomes a Jew. That's not how it works. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially saying is, serve me. And that's why the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that if a non-Jew serves, that does the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach and recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu through them, he can receive a place in the world to come as lofty and as worthy as a Kohen Gadol who was Meshamish Lifnai B'Lifnim, who served in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's incredible. Think about the difference between this and, let's say, Christianity and Islam. Christianity and Islam, or at least Christianity up till pretty recently, believe that the only way that the rest of the infidels, the non-believers, could ever arrive at God is either dying or converting to the religion of truth. Judaism never said that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the nations, serve me. You don't have to convert to Judaism to do it, but recognize who I am. Recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very fascinating difference, which is worthwhile thinking about in this perspective. Last little point is that the halachic corner of the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph points out that there is a specific mitzvah which we learn out of here, and that is that Loina Tol Boro Leshevitz Yatzara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the land is not meant to be empty and desolate, it is meant to be inhabited. And this means to say that there is a mitzvah of having children, even beyond the mitzvah of Pru Ravu, of be fruitful and multiply, which applies to even the Jews and non-Jews alike. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he wants the world to be settled, he wants the world to be established, and part of that establishment is in terms of physically, but part of it also is morally and in merit. That's our mission, and that's what we continue to do till this day. In the meantime, have a meaningful and wonderful day.